Merry Christmas. How's everybody doing? Yes, it's so great. Thank you for being here, celebrating with us, having your hopefully Christmas Eve tradition with us. We're honored that you're here. This is the last service of the night, so they say we can like cut wild, do whatever. T didn't tuck his shirt in. I mean, we're living it up on the edge here. It's incredible. All right, where are my kiddos at? Who's ready for Christmas? Who's ready for Santa? He is almost here, but don't worry, we're going to make it through service before he gets here. You're going to be totally fine, all right? Man, it's going to be great. Now, I don't know about you. I know the kiddos in the room would agree with this, but I absolutely love gifts. Anybody else? Just love giving them, receiving them, preferably receiving them. By the way, I'll be out in the lobby. Would love to receive your gifts at any time. Just kidding. No, but I love gifts, and I was thinking about Christmas and gifts. I had my mom here earlier in the service, and I was thinking about my favorite Christmas gift that I've ever received, and that was an in-ground basketball goal that my mom got me. Did anybody ask for a basketball goal this year? Anybody? Yeah, there you go. Academy's still open. Make this kid's dream come true. Okay, so I remember asking for that, and man, I got it. But a cool story I found out later, my mom, who was a single mom at the time, she actually put a garage sale on so she could raise the money to be able to get me that basketball goal. And I'll tell you what, I played on that thing every single day for years and loved that gift. I think there's something special about giving someone a gift. There's something special about receiving a gift. And gifts have become such a big part of our tradition, and it's interesting to think about, but gifts actually played a pretty significant part in the Christmas story that we find in Matthew chapter 2. And to set it up a little bit, so far in the story, if you're familiar with the Christmas story, we've learned that angels have come, they've made an announcement to Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, and also to some shepherds out in a field. Now, Zechariah, we don't talk about him very much. He was the uncle to Mary. He was also a priest, played a pretty significant role. And then Mary and Joseph, Mary would have been about 14 years old. So best guess is 12 to 16. 14 is a good guess. Joseph would have been about 20. So these young whippersnappers are bringing Jesus forward into the world, which is such a fascinating thought. And they would eventually respond to the angels, and they'd get married, and they would go on a 90-mile journey to get back to Joseph's hometown. And that journey, we think about it in a car, not too bad, but on foot or on camelback with a pregnant wife is what he would have had. That was an incredible journey that they took. And so we watch all this unfold, and we go, man, this is interesting. And then all of a sudden, Scripture tells us about these wise men who came to see Jesus. If Germani is here, that's who came to see Jesus. Thank you so much. We missed that. It was in the video. Anyways. All right. So let me read to you Matthew chapter 2. Just going to read a couple verses, and we'll use this to kind of set up what I'd like to share with you just briefly tonight, and then we'll light some candles, and it's going to be a beautiful night. Matthew chapter 2 says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." Jump ahead to verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, we're probably semi-familiar with this story if you've heard this, but I wonder if anyone's ever thought, why did they give those specific gifts? Why gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Well, let me give you some interesting things. First of all three of those gifts would have been extremely valuable. So they were giving them a gift that was going to be very helpful for them. But they also had very significant meaning in the time in which Scripture was written. See, gold, we're familiar with gold, right? Had a high value, but it also was used anytime, and this wasn't a good thing, by the way, but anytime an idol or a false god was built, it was always built in gold. So gold had this significance of divinity. Frankincense, which we don't often know much about, but frankincense would have been a gummy-like substance, if you will. It was found in trees, something kind of like tar that you would find in trees, or sap in trees. And this, when it was burnt, had the significance of holiness and righteousness. And then myrrh was also another gummy-like substance, and this was used with embalming fluid. And so it signified the picture of suffering and bitterness. Now again, all three gifts given because of their value to help Mary and Joseph as they raised Jesus. But the significance of each one was beautifully telling of the life that Jesus, the ultimate gift, was going to live. Think about it. Jesus is God. He was divine, the gold. Jesus, the only man to walk the earth, who was truly holy and righteous, the frankincense. And then finally, he would die for us, a bitter and suffering death, the myrrh. And so we see this beautiful picture come to life when we dig in a little bit to the gifts. But here's the thing. When we think about Christmas, there's been a shift, if we're honest. The Christmas that we know from the Bible, the Christmas story, to the Christmas we have, or at least the focus of Christmas today, is significantly different. It's gone from a family and a baby, really, to Santa and presents. In fact, interesting, the average American this year will spend $823 on Christmas gifts. Some of you will spend more, some of you will spend less, but the average is $823. More fascinating is a lot of people, most people, will use a credit card of some form. NerdWallet, a very valid resource, by the way, tells us that last year, 31% of the debt that was accumulated at Christmas last year has still not been paid off this year. And so we've seen this shift in the focus of Christmas. Now, I said at the beginning, I'm all about gifts. Don't get me wrong. I love gifts, to give them and to receive them. No problem there. But when Christmas becomes about debt, gift giving, the chaos of Christmas and traveling and all of this, and we miss sight of what it was intended to be, we can miss out on something very special. See, God had something really important in mind. In fact, I don't have to tell you this, but we live in a dark, broken, and hurting world. God knew that. He saw that. And he sent hope. In fact, I believe he planned to send this hope from the moment sin entered into the world, Genesis 3, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. When sin entered in the world, God knew hope must be sent. So we sent that hope in the form of a baby, Jesus Christ. And Jesus would grow up, he'd live to be in his mid-30s, and his life would be a blueprint for us. His example and his actions, his words, which would be later written down in scripture for us to read and to learn from, he would be an example. And then in about his mid-30s, he would willingly go up on the cross. He would die, and then 3 days later, he would raise again. That's Easter. That's what we celebrate at Easter. But the thing is, the power that raised Christ from the dead is extended to you and I, to all who call on Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that power gives us a few things. One, it gives us the ability to be forgiven for the ramifications of all the mistakes we've ever made in our life. And I know in this room, myself included, we got tons of them we could list. It also gives us, in a way, a power to conquer death. Maybe not death on earth here as we know it, but by giving us an eternal resting place in heaven with God Almighty, we can look forward to something beyond this world. It gives us the power to conquer death. And then finally, it gives us power to conquer some of the struggles we experience here on this very earth. There's many we could list, but two that come to mind are depression and worthlessness. I think so many people in the world today are walking around hopelessly trying to figure out what is going on, what's wrong with me, dot, dot, dot. And it's the depression that takes in. God says, I've sent my son Jesus to give you hope, even in the dark world. And then worthlessness. I know there's a lot of people that are struggling with where they are and what they're supposed to do and who am I supposed to become. God says, I've put you on this earth. Not only do I save you, not only do I set a place for you in heaven, but I also have a purpose I have divinely ordained for you, something for you to do. And we look at all this and we go, wow, what an incredible gift God has given us. And Jesus, like every gift you'll see this weekend, it's intended to be received, opened, and shared. Think about it. All of us in here, I'm going to believe, are going to get a gift this weekend, right? If you don't, call me. I'll find someone to give you a gift. We're going to get a gift. And you're going to get that gift, and you're going to take it, and you're going to open it, and then you're going to share it, right? Probably in a room full of people, because there's going to be people there watching, so you're going to show it off. If you're tech savvy, you'll probably pull out your phone and take a camera, a picture. We don't use cameras, we use our phones. You'll take a picture. And if you're real tech savvy or just cool, you'll post it on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or Fishbop or whatever it is you post on. But you're going to share it with the world, right? If you like it, of course. Well, the same idea is true with Jesus. That is a gift to be opened, to be received, to be shared. See, I wonder if some of us here today are finding ourselves in a place where maybe even right now you're starting to realize maybe this has been the missing piece that I've needed. I think about this, and I think about this weekend as you get that gift or gifts, what would be the worst thing you could do? I would argue the worst thing would be to not accept it. Can you imagine? Your kid comes up to you and says, "Hey, Mom, I got you this gift, whatever it is. Here you go." And you go, "Ah, no, thank you. I'll pass." Who would do that, right? No. Why? Because think about it. Regardless how big or small the gift is, how special, significant, or valuable or not valuable it is, the fact is somebody took time to think about you, to prepare for you, maybe even to wrap, and then to give to you, which sometimes can be one of the most difficult things. And so anything like that would deserve a response, would it not? We would never turn it away. I was thinking about this. I have two kids, 7 and 5, and my oldest, who's 7, Kyla, they're at home. My mom is moved down from Oregon. We're so glad she's here. We love her. She's my mom and all that's great, but really her job now is to babysit. So she was here. She's not here, so I can say the truth. So she's here, and she's watching my kids while we're out doing something, and my daughter does what any 7-year-old's going to do, and she goes to her grandma and says, "Can we order pizza?" Now, my mom, just moving here, she's still working on her work schedule and getting a job and those kind of things. And so she's being financially careful as she's navigating these couple weeks. And so she looks at my daughter and she says, "Well, listen, I'm not working, and so I'm trying to be careful with my money, so let's not order pizza tonight." And immediately, my 7-year-old starts firing off questions. So you don't have any money? You mean you don't have any money to buy groceries? Food? You know, my mom, you know, she's kind of blowing it off. She thinks it's kind of just blowing off her questions. And my daughter disappears. 2 minutes later, she comes downstairs. And in her hand, she has $2. Her only $2. And she walks up to my mom and she says, "Grandma," they call her Grandma. Don't ask me where that came from. "Grandma, I want to give you this so that you can buy groceries." Now, let's be honest, okay? Of course, my mom's in tears, right? Trying to hold it back. My mom's thinking, okay, this, I don't really need this $2. To be honest, like, we get it. I got a plan. I'm okay. More importantly, I don't want to take this $2 from my 7-year-old, my 7-year-old grandchild, my grandbaby. But here's what we realized later on. The kindest thing my mom could have done in that moment, even though all those things were true, was to receive the gift that my daughter thought about, prepared, went to get, and handed to her. And this is it, guys. This is what Jesus is all about. It is this incredible gift that you and I get to decide, do we want it or not? God did this because he loves you. He sees you, and he thought about you, even with your imperfections and your flaws and your failed attempts at life. God saw you, and he thought about you. God prepared for you. Like you will prepare a present, maybe tonight, I'm sure you got a lot to wrap. You're going to take gift wrap, and you're going to wrap it up. You're going to put a bow on it. God did the same thing with Jesus. He wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and I would argue put a North Star as the bow. And he said, "Here you go." And he did it because he loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. But here's what's cool. The gift of Jesus, it doesn't stop once you receive him. Once you receive him, now that gift that's in you has the ability to be a gift shared with others. And that's exactly what God intends, that we would take this good news of Jesus and that we would spread it around the world. That's the picture of the candle lighting, by the way. And so here is this gift waiting for you. And I know for some, it's going to be receiving it. It's receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, which is wonderful. But I wonder if there's some of us here, we could take the picture of receiving and then opening or unwrapping. I wonder if there's some of us in our life that, man, we haven't quite unwrapped Jesus. And what I mean by that is there's some areas of our life that we haven't quite given over to him. I wonder if tonight might be the night where you might hand it over. You get to be a gift. I think about this, and I think for some of us, it might look like this. Maybe for some of you, you're going to be a little more of a gift to your family with a little less focus on the career or the hobby. Or maybe you're going to try to be a little more gift to your spouse and not just to your kiddos. Or maybe you're going to be a little bit more of a gift to your coworkers and not just the task that you're doing together. Or maybe you're going to do what we just said and allow God to invade your life so that you could take this purpose that he's divinely given to you and you could share it with the world, even if it means you might be a little less important in the world's eyes. I think about this. My wife, Sarah, a couple years ago, we were navigating the future, just having conversations, probably done something similar. And she at the time was working for Chick-fil-A, corporate Chick-fil-A. She was traveling all over the country, opening stores. It was really an amazing thing, and she was killing it. Everybody loved her. And so we started talking about this idea of maybe leaving Houston and going to Atlanta so that she could work at the corporate office of Chick-fil-A, which would be an incredible thing. And she came in one night while we were in the middle of thinking this through over a couple-day period. She came in and she says, I want you to know, if we leave, it's not going to be because of me. It's going to be because of you. More importantly, it's going to be because of what God is doing with our family in ministry and in the church. And so we hung around for a few years, which later led to the opportunity for us to get the call to come here, what I'd argue is the greatest church in the world. You should definitely come back if you're new. But we stayed here and we got that call. And I'm going to tell you, she gave up some stuff. She would have had a much better paying job. She would have definitely had more significance and more importance in the world's eyes, but she said, man, following God as a family is far more important to me. So I wonder where you are. I don't know why you're here. Maybe you're here for tradition. Maybe someone made you feel obligated to come. We're not going to feed you if you don't go to church with us, whatever it was. Maybe it's anticipation. But whatever reason you're here, I'm telling you, I think God may be trying to say something to you, and I hope that you'll listen. Maybe for some, it's to receive the gift. All you have to do to receive Jesus is to acknowledge that, man, you're messed up, jacked up from the floor up. We all are. That's no secret. To say, man, I need God. I need a Savior. But then some of us, maybe we've received him because we like the idea of heaven or we like the idea of not going to a fiery place one day, but you haven't quite unwrapped him in your life. And if that's you, I want to encourage you. What a great night. What a great season to say, you know what? God, I've been hanging on to a few areas of my life. I got to let it go. I want you to take over not just some of my life, but all of my life, and to watch him do a mighty work. Inside the gift, well, imagine that, is the candle. You know, we light this candle, and it's a picture of Jesus coming down into this dark world to provide the hope and the light. John tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. And I wonder tonight if that light needs to touch your life. And if it does, I hope that it will. Let me pray for us and then we'll light these candles.